I'm not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you. But you must have known I was not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
Truly, you have a dizzying intellect.
Wait till I get going. Let's drink. Me from my glass, and you from yours.
It's the Wine Crush. And now, here are your hosts, Laura Lawson.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
And Michael Ambrose.
Nervous?
Yes.
First time?
No, I've been nervous lots of times.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we welcome you to the show that's all about wine. All about the grape and all its glory, and all about wine and the mysteries that it entails. But most importantly, we are talking about wine from an everyday perspective. We are trying to take all the mystique, all the difficulties, all the myths that surround wine, and bring them home to you so it actually makes sense.
Right.
This is the anti-wine wine show where everything goes. Today on The Wine Crush, we are going to talk about standards. What is the standard? We'll jokingly talk about we set the standard for wine radio. But also, is there a standard in a bottle? Is there a standard in a glass? Is there a standard way wine should taste? And so we're going to have a little fun, give you a couple facts. Along the lines, we've got some great guests today.
We do.
Richard Hake is going to come back. He is the winery chef for Robert Mondavi. He is going to enlighten us a little bit more on the joys of the kitchen. Joys, of course, being in quotation marks if you're talking to me. We are fortunate. We are going to have Mark Stuvich. He is the winemaker for Kenwood Wine Estates, a great little winery in Sonoma Valley. And of course, we are going to share our debates on standards, because anytime you talk about a bottom line here on the Wine Crush, we're going to find a way to cross that line. You know, Michael, before we get down to arguing about standards, let's at least cover some ground. What are you drinking these days? I'm finally allowed to drink again. I wound up having to go through another round of antibiotics, so it's only in the last 4 days that I have been able to drink.
Right,
so,
and welcome back from the dead.
Thank you. I feel much better. So I'll have to share a little bit through you. What are you drinking? What are you doing? Because you're looking awful peaked today.
Well, I've got to admit it. I had some of my cohorts up to the house last night, and we were doing some comparison drinking. That is, tasting. I actually did an Italian dinner, and so we had several Italian white wines and some French wines, and probably one of the better white French wines that I've ever had, which was a 2001 Pulini Montrachet. Then we switched over to red wines, and we compared Chianti to a Barolo, and then went to a Bordeaux, a Pichon Lalande, and we finished up with a wine called Bond, B-O-N-D.
Which was costlier, the actual amount that you had to spend on the wine or your headache this morning?
You know, I'm starting to feel better now.
Well, good. That's a nice thing. And, of course, Michael was drinking responsibly at his own house. This is where we encourage most of you to try out all your different wines. It certainly saves our clientele.
Yes, indeed. Or if you go out, get a cab.
Yes. Michael, the whole thing with the antibiotics and throwing my palate just to the wind has made me look at other beverages in a sense. And one of the coolest things I had revisited that I hadn't seen in a while was a Bellini.
A Bellini?
A Bellini.
And what's in a Bellini? Peach?
Peach. But a Bellini is a very interesting drink all the way around. Some of y'all have emailed and called us and asked us what you can do with wine. Does it make any other beverages?
Right.
Does it make any other drink? The Bellini was created in 1948 by Giuseppe Crapani of Harry's Bar in Venice, Italy.
Yep.
But a Bellini, as it originally is made at Harry's Bar, is 2/3 cup white peach puree, 1 teaspoon of raspberry puree, and 1 bottle of Prosecco that's been chilled.
And Prosecco is a sweet champagne coming from Italy.
It is. Actually, not necessarily sweet. They can be semi-dry.
Yeah.
But it's great because it's got that effervescence to it that you like to have off your sparkling wines. But having the peach and the little bit of raspberry in there, it actually took the edge off all that metallic flavor I was getting off my antibiotics. So I still got my wine quota, and I actually got fruit. And they say that fruit has a lot of vitamin C, and vitamin C helps you get over things. So I figured I'll just kill two birds with one stone, and I'll be good to go.
For those of you who have never heard of Harry's Bar, I think it's probably the most famous bar in the world.
Absolutely. It was a familiar haunt of Ernest Hemingway.
Right.
Humphrey Bogart was a big passionate fan of Harry's.
Yeah.
And I can honestly say that I have been thrown out of Harry's bars on both continents.
That's great. Yeah. And it's difficult to say, I've been thrown out of better places than this.
That's true.
When you have, in fact, been thrown out of Harry's.
Yes, go figure.
To reach Laura and Michael, call 877-4CRUSH1. That's 877-427-8741. Or you can email them at this new address, info@winecrush.com.
Diane writes us from Memphis, Tennessee. I have a wine etiquette question. I'm hosting a party for some of my husband's office workers, and we'll be serving both white and red wines. Do I need to have more than one glass per person in case they want to mix their wine drinking? Diane, I would suggest one wine glass per person. If you get one of the larger, big kind of balloon-style glasses, it goes equally well with white and red wine. And if people are at your house and you're just entertaining friends, they're not going to mind either rinsing the glass out if they start with whites and go to reds, or if they're intermixing wines. You can use one glass per person, unless, of course, you're having like a formal wine tasting where you've got three or four different wines and maybe you've put them in a sock or a brown bag and you're having people guess what they are. And we have a call from...
My name is Joey, and the question is there as much resveratrol in white wines as in red wines?
This is pretty easy. The answer is no.
Joey, I wish. I am a diehard white wine drinker, but unfortunately, no. It is actually coming from the polyphenols and the various chemical components that are in the skins of grapes. And red wine spends much more time on the skins of grapes. That's where that pretty color comes from. But if you'll pay attention to our earlier shows, there is now a pill and a patch that you can take so you can get the benefits of red wines without having to drink them.
That's right. But my suggestion would be to drink them and enjoy your time a lot more than having to stick a patch on your arm.
Fair enough. We encourage the rest of you, call us 877-4CRUSH1 or email us at info@winecrush.com. And while you are emailing us, that means you check out our website. Our website is winecrush.com. And on it, you can find my and Michael's blogs and interact with us directly. Just keep in mind, the fun things we can't say on the air, we can definitely say on the web.
That's exactly right.
And we have an opportunity to tune into our West Coast eyes and ears at this point. Richard Hake, the winery chef for Robert Mondavi, is brave enough to join us here on The Crush again. Richard, welcome back to The Crush.
Thank you so much. It's great to be back.
Oh, it's nice to have you. How are things out in California?
Sunny and beautiful. A perfect place to be a grapevine.
Richard, Michael and I have been talking, and this is a question, both of us being from a professional wine background, I have been dying to ask of someone who truly cooks from a winery perspective. When people add balsamic vinegar to dishes and then you try and pair wine to it, is there a secret to that? Because all along the lines, those of us who are into wine and food, you hear that balsamic vinegar or any type of vinegar will absolutely kill a wine, no matter how it's created. Is that truth or fiction?
Too much vinegar can be a bad thing, so I like to remind people that there's a ratio to making a vinaigrette, and it's two parts oil to one part vinegar. And by adding, making sure you're using a good olive oil that has a fruity flavor, that's going to help build some balance into your vinaigrette. And a teaspoon or a tablespoon of honey or sugar will bring some balance to your vinaigrette. Mm.
So even if I'm doing a salad with a vinaigrette, is there a great wine that will pair with that?
Wine's good in acid, high in acid, like a Sauvignon Blanc, a Pinot Grigio. That's going to work well with a salad. Think of acid and acid balancing each other out. And think of wines that go well with first courses, and that can create a good pairing with a vinaigrette.
How is the tomato crisis affecting you? What have you seen that has had to change because of all the problems with tomatoes these days?
It's very difficult. Every time I call the produce company that I order my produce from, they have an alert and update on the tomato situation. And a couple weeks back, we did an event at the winery, and one of the chefs asked me to get in 150 pounds of tomatoes.
Wow.
And I called the produce company, and they explained to me, don't you know that there's a situation with the FDA banning certain tomatoes? I'm like, yes, but I can't say no to this chef. And they sent 150 pounds of tomatoes from Canada.
Really?
Oh, that's a great way to get around it. As our listeners may or may not know, there has been a problem with tomatoes where they are contacted, where people are contracting food poisoning with certain types of tomatoes,
right,
with certain type of bacteria, and it's been very, very hard for people to narrow down where all this is coming from. Ergo, the FDA has stepped in and said, everyone be cautious and careful.
My restaurant, we are not serving raw tomatoes anymore for the time being, but you can still cook them and make sauces, right, as long as you get up to like 165 degrees or something like that?
That's correct, and you can make a lot of wonderful sauces outside of the Italian tomato sauce realm as well. And just getting a nice char and putting them in the broiler to get that heat and contact with the tomato. And the real concern is on the outside of the tomato, the skin of the tomato, where they're finding that salmonella is.
Okay.
Okay. For those of you listening, I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we are taking a break from Richard Hake, the chef from Robert Mondavi Vineyards. Richard, will you hang out for a bit?
Absolutely. I'll fire up the grill.
Perfect. Great. Sounds great.
All right. Thank you, Richard. Coming up next, we will talk a little bit more about standards or the lack thereof in wine. We have Mark Stevich, the winemaker for Kenwood, joining us. And as always, we have you with your calls and your emails. Stay tuned.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has seven models that offer an EPA-estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA-estimated 30 mpg highway, to the Aveo 5 with an EPA-estimated 34 mpg highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA-estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of MPG, based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Chad.
What's up?
You know that Cobalt Tools commercial we just did, where I go around fixing things and in the end you ask me to get in the car?
Yeah.
Well, I just got a call from this big Hollywood agent who saw it and wants me to come in and see him.
Wow, that's great. What's he want you to do, star in a movie or something?
No, he wants me to fix a door in his office. What's so funny?
Cobalt Tools are so comfortable to use, once you start working with them, you'll never want to quit. Cobalt, the next generation of tough tools. Available only at Lowe's.
Hey-ya! Doug, are you okay?
Mark, I'm practicing my ninja moves so I can take on weeds with Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer.
Do you mean there are ninjas inside the Spectracide bottle?
Well, using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to kill weeds and unwanted grass right down to the root. You see the result in as fast as 3 hours.
I see, Sensei. I'm heading over to Lowe's to pick up Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer with ninja fighting power.
Just remember, Mark, weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
There's a reason Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires for their high-performance vehicles. Just ask Cooper Tires' technical advisor, Johnny Unser.
Roush tunes vehicles to reach their absolute limits. They need tires that can handle those limits, from handling to durability to safety. That's why they choose Cooper. And that same race-bred technology goes into every Cooper Tire you buy, no matter what you drive.
For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Cooper Tires. Don't give up a thing.
Bring the ball up. See the court, baby. See the court.
Let's go.
Right, see the open man. Good pass.
That's listen good. Carefully.
Yeah!
Okay, get back.
What do you hear?
Good beat.
Yes!
Do you know what that is?
No, that's right. Okay, okay.
That's the sound of someone being there. The sound of someone caring about a kid.
Good shot. Yes! Yes!
That's the sound of a mentor. See a movie together, play catch, or just hang out. The important thing is spending time together. A little of your time means a lot to a kid.
This is Laura Bush. Help America's youth. Be a friend. Be a mentor. Just be there.
To be a mentor, go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org. That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org. A public service message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities.
Have a banana.
Eating well, have two bananas. And playing.
Come on, Baloo.
Go together like best friends.
You better believe it.
With the food pyramid, the bare necessities of living healthy are easy.
That bring the bare necessities of life.
It gives you just the right amount of grains, vegetables, fruits, milk, and meats and beans.
Crazy.
So eat right.
You eat it?
You're gonna love the way they tickle.
Be active.
I'll move. That's it.
And don't forget to have fun.
You're lots of fun, Baloo.
That's the way to be the best.
You're all right, kid.
At anything you do.
Yeah, man.
You can go to mypyramid.gov to play some games and find out more.
Me and Baloo, we've got things to do.
This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ag Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And here on The Crush today, we have spoken a little bit about standards and standards when it comes to wine. And I think anyone who has followed The Crush knows what my idea of standards are. But think about it. There are standards as far as the temperature that you serve wine.
Right.
There are standards as far as in the United States on what has to be in a bottle. There are standards generally of how you age a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
There are standards on how a restaurant or a club needs to present the bottle. There are standards on what goes on the label. There are standards on what alcohol percentage that wine is. And then if you look across the pond or look at other countries, there's growing standards.
Right.
There's aging standards. There's yield standards. There's grape standards. But ultimately, when it comes to wine and what you're drinking, what is your standard? And can anyone define that for you? That's what we're kind of getting into at The Crush, and we want to know what your standard is. We know that we don't live up to most people's standards, but we sure try. Why don't you let us know where we fit? Call us at 877-4-CRUSH-1 or email us at info@winecrush.com. Why don't we talk about standards on a positive sense? And that means it is time to introduce Mark Stuvich. He is the winemaker for Kenwood. Kenwood is a great winery in the heart of Sonoma Valley, and for the longest time, it has and was the standard of the wines coming out of that region. Mark, welcome to the Wine Crush.
It's great to be here.
Well, tell us what you are doing at Kenwood these days. Obviously, Kenwood has a great history. Kenwood is known for its wines, and so far as you think about Kenwood, you think about the Artist Series, you think about the Jack London Series, and of course, there's Sauvignon Blanc, which is one of my personal favorites. Most of our listeners, if you sit and you think about Kenwood, the one thing that does come to mind is that beautiful Wolf bottle. And of course, when I talk about the Wolf bottle, I'm talking about the Jack London Series that you do, and also the Jack London Vineyards. Tell us about how Jack London and Kenwood tied into each other.
Jack London owned that property. I believe he began purchasing the land between Glen Ellen and the top of Sonoma Mountain in 1904. He died in 1917. At one time, he owned 14,000 acres. He owned both sides of the road from Glen Ellen all the way to the top of the mountain. He purchased that property so if he was downtown, he could just get in his buggy and whip the horses one time, fall asleep in the back, and when he woke up, he was home and he didn't have to worry about anybody on the way up the hill. He was not a grape grower. Jack London was a writer. He was an adventurer. He covered the Russian-Japanese War as a war correspondent. He mined for gold in the Klondike. He had a boat built for him that was not much bigger than this room. He and his wife and one crew member sailed to the South Seas.
Absolutely legendary. And, of course, most of our listeners, we will know him for White Fang, for Call of the Wild, and those great short stories.
He called the ranch, what's now the Jack London Ranch, he called it his beauty ranch. And he did experimentation with a lot of different things. He raised pigs. He was trying experiments with different kind of crops, none of them being grapes, by the way.
No.
He planted eucalyptus trees thinking that they would make great railroad ties. It turned out it was a variety of eucalyptus that twists when it dries. So the vineyard is still surrounded by eucalyptus, which is an aspect to the Jack London wines. You can taste the eucalyptus in the wines, particularly the Cabernet, but also to a degree in the Merlot.
Mark, I have to admit, I've been drinking Kenwood for so many years that I am pretty much attached to the Jack London series. But y'all definitely do great wines across the board, from the entry-level Yalupas all the way up through your Artist series. Tell us about Kenwood's style. What can our buyer expect when they're picking up a bottle of Kenwood off the shelf?
Our grapes are grown either by ourselves. We purchase about 50% of what we crush. We own the other half. We want the wines to be representative of the land that they came from. We have been able over the years to focus on putting the right things in the ground in the right places, or finding the growers that not only have the right grape in the ground, but we'll farm it the way we want it to deliver the fruit that we want. The barrel aging and a lot of the things that we do to make the wine should accentuate or complement the fruit, not overpower it. And I'd say across the board, that's how we look at things.
That's fair enough.
We're trying to make a fruit-forward wine that it's very indicative of what you'd expect from, say, a Russian River Chardonnay. We grow a lot of Chardonnay on the Russian River. The growing team at Kenwood is outstanding. We grow more Pinot Noir on the Russian River than anyone. We own more Pinot Noir vineyards, acreage. So that allows us to make an outstanding Pinot Noir at a very reasonable price. And sometimes I think that we're almost underpriced because we deliver a value at every price point.
I was about to say, the owner of Kenwood right now is having a heart attack saying, we are almost underpriced. I think that typifies, though, Kenwood all the way across the board. It is, for those of you who are Sonoma fans, Kenwood definitely typifies all the best you would expect out of Sonoma, and it's value-driven, whether it's your Sauvignon Blanc, your Chardonnays, or your Merlots. So I think that's a great way to do it. So for those of you who want a great value on Sonoma, by all means, go pick up that bottle of Kenwood on your shelf.
For every variety that we make, we have a reserve. Going back to the cuvée method of winemaking, every batch is kept separate until it's come out of barrels. When we are tasting barrels, we're only deciding whether this lot or this lot should come out of barrels, the order that things should be removed from the barrels as they achieve that point that we think that they have enough oak. Before any decisions are made, say, with Cabernet, we might have 150,000 gallons of Cabernet in 25 lots. And the first thing we're going to do is come up with 1,200 cases worth of the best Cabernet we possibly can. That will be our artist series.
That goes in your artist.
Then we do the same thing with Merlot. We do the same thing with Sauvignon Blanc. We do the same thing with Zinfandel. We make a reserve of every variety we make. The only vineyard designate we make anymore is the Jack London Ranch.
Okay.
And we at one time made seven different vineyard designates of Zinfandels. But the problem with doing that is that by law, they have to be 95% from that vineyard. A lot of times those wines are outstanding at 75%, but not 95%. And you don't want to create a great Zinfandel one year that isn't going to be at that quality for maybe 3 or 4 years. So by moving to a reserve program, we can blend.
And so blend the best of the best,
exactly,
and find the best that Kenwood,
exactly,
has to offer.
And the Jack London Ranch is so consistent that we can count on those wines being good year after year.
All right. We are speaking with Mark Stupich. He is the winemaker for Kenwood Winery. And Mark, we're going to have to take a small break. Will you stay with us till later in the show?
You bet.
Coming up next, man does not live by wine alone. Yes, occasionally we must all eat. And our resident winery chef will give you a great recipe that won't break the bank and doesn't require a culinary PhD to make, which, as we all know, is definitely par for my course.
A party? And you didn't invite us?
The Wine Crush.
You ain't getting rid of us that easy.
And now Jimmy Johnson's working on the Watson's garage door. He's got the old motor off. He's got the new motor on. The door's up. The door's down. He's gone. What do you got, Brett?
I got a stall truck here on Maple. Jimmy's got the hood up. His hands are a blur. I tell you, Doug, I haven't seen ratcheting like that in years. Now back to you.
He just finished building a new doghouse for an extremely appreciative Cocker Spaniel. Now he's wiping the slobber off. Wait, he sees a broken gate over to the
school. Cobalt tools are so comfortable to use. Once you start working with them, you'll never want to quit. Cobalt, the next generation of tough tools. Available only at Lowe's.
Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro-lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. It works. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
You wanna go? All of you who wanna go to college.
Wanna go?
You best listen to this knowledge. Listen. You gotta be a go-getter, cause it's hard to get there. Get up in their face, get up in their space. Excuse me, missus. You say you're my teacher, you say you're my preacher. Excuse me, mister. You act like you're large and you say you're in charge. So show me, what is it that I need? So tell me, the books I should read. Somebody hit me with the 411. There are steps to take, there's a job to be done. I want step one, step two, step three spelled out. All the info is what I'm about. So ask for help and do not stop. KnowHowToGo.org, let's ride.
That was Farnsworth Bentley with Wanna Go. For more college info, visit KnowHowToGo.org. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking. You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing. You're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know, I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Salagadoola, Metricaboola, Bibbidi-Bobbidi.
You must be your fairy godmother. Yes.
It doesn't take a fairy godmother to tell you that the right fit means everything.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in that.
Children under 4'9" need to be in a booster seat because they aren't ready for adult safety belts alone. Many parents miss the important step of booster seats.
Maybe you better explain things to him.
Booster seats raise your child up so that a safety belt designed for adults will fit and protect them properly.
Oh, that does make a difference.
Remember that 4'9" is the magic number. And get your little pumpkin there safely in a booster seat.
Hop in, my dear. Oh, thank you.
And like Cinderella, you can live happily ever after.
It's like a dream. A wonderful dream come true.
For more information, visit boosterseat.gov. This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Make that wine. Put it in a bottle, boys, and ship it on down the line. Well, I got up this morning.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And you are tuned into the show that's all about wine and the grape. But more importantly, this show is about you. And we encourage you to call us at 877-4-CRUSH-1. We also encourage you to email us at info@winecrush.com. Right, news that you actually can use today, coming from the East Bay Business Times, which is part of San Francisco Business Times. The wine group pulls plug on jugs for Almaden and Inglenook wines. I just assumed it'd be easy for me to say. The wine group's newly acquired Almaden and Inglenook wine brands are switching from jugs to bag-in-the-box packaging to dramatically slash their carbon footprints, the private company has announced. Officials called the move consistent with the consumer's desire for both value and environmentally friendly packaging.
I'm really proud of this. Now that it's no longer in a gallon jug, those boxing types of packaging keeps the wine a lot better, too.
It definitely keeps the wine a lot fresher. But a man may not be able to relate to this. When you were looking at those big jugs that Almaden used to use and Inglenook used to use, they're heavy.
They are.
And it's very hard to actually pour a glass of wine out of them. With today's bag-in-the-box feature, you have your little spigot that comes out. All you do is push the button, get a glass of wine. Makes it a whole lot easier. We're going to talk a little bit about standards. You know, you always hear about songs and standards and what sets the standard for anything. Just like your lovely host here at the Wine Crush, we definitely set the standard for what is a wine radio program. But ultimately, when you take the wine universe as a whole, what is the standard of wine?
There are so many people in the past that have tried to set the standard. I mean, they're the Wine Spectator, the Wine Advocate.
There are a lot of people out there that are going to tell you that they set the standard. whether it's The Spectator, whether it's Robert Parker, whether it's Michael Broadbent, nobody sets the standard for anything but you. Whatever you put in your mouth, whatever you put in your glass, that is what the standard is of what you like. I don't care if the wine is 100 points. I don't care if it's 79 points. As far as I'm concerned, when you look at all the ratings and all the standards that are out there to be told to you, I think the only thing that holds true is it prints on paper and it actually wastes ink.
I respectfully disagree a little bit. I think these guys provide a framework that you can at least, if you use their rating systems, you can then say, okay, this is what that 90-point wine tastes like, and this is what these people feel makes it worth the amount of money that you're paying to get a particular rating.
There are standards in beef. There are standards in poultry. There are standards in a weight of a tomato. But ultimately, no matter what Wine Spectator tells you, no matter what people who write all these wine books and who actually do shows like the ones that Michael and me do, there is no standard for wine but what comes across in your own glass. But of course, we want to hear from you. Call us, 877-4-CRUSH-1. Tell us about the best glass of wine you've had and why. Tell us why you like standards. Tell us what you think the standard is. And of course, for those of you who don't want to call, email us at info@winecrush.com. We are coming back online with Richard Hake. He is the winery chef for Robert Mondavi Wineries. Richard, are you still with us?
Absolutely, and the grill's fired up.
Oh, good. What are you putting on it?
Tilapia.
Oh, tilapia. Okay.
Ah, what are we doing with our fish today, Richard?
We're going to do grilled tilapia with a salsa roja.
Well, salsa roja.
We're going to grill the fish, and we're going to put a nice little rub on it, and one of the ingredients I use is smoked paprika. And for those listeners out there that don't know about smoked paprika, it is, I would say, in my top three favorite ingredients this year, and it's easy to find in grocery stores now.
Really?
This has a nice, rich smokiness without too much heat, and it can help amplify the smokiness that the grill brings to your fish and meats when you grill. And we're going to char the tomatoes and the peppers and grill the onions to build on this nice smoky flavor to make this salsa roja, which is basically a red sauce, and it has a it's Mexican in origin, and by charring tomatoes, peppers, onions, and blending it together, you make this lovely sauce to pour over the grilled tilapia.
For our listeners, that recipe will be on our website, which will be at winecrush.com. It will be in our blog, so we'll let actually Richard go into some of the details. But for those of you who are actually technical and want to follow, it will be on our website, and that will give you a chance to email us and let us know how it comes. And you can email us at info@winecrush.com. When you say char something, man, I'm a charring expert. I can burn the hell out of anything I get my hands on. So what exactly is a true char?
With the vegetables, you oil the vegetables and find that hot spot on the grill, and basically you're burning it like you do most of your food.
There you go, Laura.
My kind of recipe. Yes, I knew I'd come in useful somewhere.
We're giving you a license to burn.
All right.
You want to char the outside and blister the skin, and actually the black charring of the tomatoes, it's okay to leave that skin on the tomatoes, and you'll take the core out of the tomatoes. And when you blend the sauce, those black flecks will be in the sauce. And not only do they add color and complexity to the sauce, it's good flavor.
What kind of wine do you like to see go with those peppers, with the hotter things?
With hotter wines, I like to offset it with some sweetness to the wine. So Rieslings pair well with spicier food, and Gewürztraminers.
Right.
This is the first time we have all agreed on a wine to pair with
something. I think so, too.
Richard, thank you very much for coming aboard and sharing us your great tilapia recipe. I think anytime we encounter something that allows me to burn something, even I might go try this one. But for our listeners, you can find it on the website at winecrush.com. We have to take a quick break here at the Wine Crush, but as we head to break, here is our weekly wine teaser. We want to know who said, "Wine rejoices the heart of man, and joy is the mother of all virtues." The answer when we return.
Hi-ya!
Doug, are you okay?
Mark, I'm practicing my ninja moves so I can take on weeds with Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer.
Do you mean there are ninjas inside the Spectracide bottle?
Well, using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to kill weeds and unwanted grass right down to the root. You see the result in as fast as 3 hours.
I see, Sensei. I'm heading over to Lowe's to pick up Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer with ninja fighting power.
Just remember, Mark, weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway, to the Aveo 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of mpg, based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
I'm on a test track riding in a Roush Mustang with Cooper Tires technical advisor Johnny Unser to learn why Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires.
Wow, feel that grip?
Yeah, I felt it. Cooper incorporates what they learn at the track into engineering high-performing, reliable, safe tires for whatever you drive on the street.
Okay, time to cut her loose.
We weren't already cutting her loose? Cooper Tires, don't give up a thing. For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Okay, seriously, I want out.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro-lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max, easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles. Take it from Carroll Shelby.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean it.
Log on to Z-Max.com and find a retail performance partner. Z-Max, performance you can feel.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Dying forests, they were a tap on the shoulder. We got a finger in our chest from the rising sea level, and a sharp poke in the ribs from recent wildfires in Alaska. Then dying coral reefs and eroding coastlines pushed us hard. The drowned polar bears, that was a shove. Melting permafrost, that was a slap. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution before it's too late. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
The opinions, intelligence, and all-around soundness of mind of the hosts of The Wine Crush vary with how much alcohol, sleep, and stress they have experienced at the time of recording. If you find errors, think that you find errors, or just want to take issue with something, call us at 1-877-4-CRUSH-1. We may return your call or air the correction depending on how moody the hosts are at that given moment. And remember, just because they claim to know everything does not mean they actually do or would admit fault anyway. Thank you.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Michael Ambrose.
And I'm Laura Lawson.
And before we went on break, we asked the question, who said wine rejoices the heart of man and joy is the mother of all virtues? Laura, who said that?
That is one of my favorite authors, if I have to look across the pond. That's Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. He lived in the 1700s and 1800s. He is definitely considered one of the great playwrights of all time.
Really?
And, Michael, I can't believe it because I can see you. He wrote the play Faust.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime you're starting making a deal with the devil, I thought you'd relate to that.
I've made several of those.
I would imagine you were forced to read it in school. Oh, but yeah, that's right. It hadn't been written yet.
Actually, my sixth grade education prevented me from having to read it.
I understand that. Goethe is considered to be by many the most important writer in the German language and one of the most important thinkers in Western culture as well. For those of you who aren't familiar with him, I do at least encourage you to read Faust. It gives you an interesting perspective on the human mind and the human psyche.
And he obviously liked wine because he lived to the ripe old age of 82.
See, there's hope for you. Drinking all that German wine, you might actually live past 60. All right. With that out of the way, we are rejoined by Mr. Mark Stupich. He is the winemaker for Kenwood Vineyards. Mark, welcome back to The Crush.
Thank you.
you're like me, you are over 20 years in this business. And as you look back, I know as I look back on the wine business in the past 20 years, the amount of change alone just astounds me. When you look at what you've encountered at Kenwood in 25 years, what is the biggest thing that really comes to mind, and what do you see coming in the next 10 years?
One thing that always shocks me, we have the Sonoma County Harvest Fair every year, and it's an event in the middle of harvest. It's a fundraiser. Virtually all of the wineries in Sonoma County attend this. And when I started the first year, I'm going to say 1977, there were 28 wineries that attended that. And after the awards were given out, we moved the chairs aside and we danced. Now there are probably 28 wineries in Kenwood.
Yeah.
There are well over 200 wineries in Sonoma County. And when I go from table to table, I have heard of probably less than half of the tables I'm passing. And that just absolutely blows my mind. Who's drinking this stuff?
Where's it coming from? How
and
did
when
it
I go
here?
Into a wine shop, I see all these, you know, shelf after shelf. Who's going to find a Kenwood wine here? It's just a little white label, but it seems to work.
Well, it works. Y'all definitely have the legend for it, and y'all have definitely been doing the labeling. Mark, you and I are both very fortunate in the time we spent in the business. You and I talked off air about how much we both like Sauvignon Blancs or how much we both like Pinot Noirs, but it seems like it's always at different times of the year. A question a lot of our listeners have is it okay to drink different things at different times? What advice would you have to our listeners on drinking in general?
Well, moderation. The way I drink wine is whatever mood I'm in, I'll drink whatever variety just suits me at the time. I do not worry about having Zinfandel or Cabernet with fish. I don't think twice about that. I think Zinfandel goes spectacularly with salmon. The way I tend to drink wine, it depends more on the weather. I'll drink Sauvignon Blanc in the summertime. You won't catch me with a glass of Sauvignon Blanc in my hand in December.
Doesn't mean you don't like Sauvignon Blanc. It's just whatever suits your mood at the time.
Absolutely. The Sauvignon Blanc is a summer sipper. It's light. It's fruity. A lot of grapefruit. And it's just alive. And Sauvignon Blanc, I'd say Sauvignon Blanc and Zinfandel are probably the two most fun wines to make in that the aroma of the fermentations and the pressing just takes over. It just really brings the excitement to the level up. There's a point at which Sauvignon Blanc smells like the ocean.
That salty, almost umami kind of
and
great feeling to it.
And it's no accident that Sauvignon Blanc and oysters are a marriage made in heaven.
I could not disagree with you at all.
But I've never smelled a bottle of Sauvignon Blanc in a glass that smells like the ocean. It's just a phase it goes through.
No, like everything
to
else.
To each their own.
It is okay to have phases. Our wines have phases, and each one of us as drinkers should have phases. So feel no guilt if you aren't loyal to your varietal all the time. For those of you who want to know more about the different lines that Kenwood carries and all the best of the best they represent, we encourage you to check out their website. And you can do that at www.kenwoodvineyards.com. That's K-E-N-W-O-O-D vineyards.com. We are speaking with Mark Stupich. He is the winemaker for Kenwood Winery. And as long as we have the door locked and you can't leave the building, why don't we take some calls from some of our listeners and you can help us answer those questions. Nick, welcome to the Wine Crush.
My question is, do you guys have a suggestion for wine that could go with peanuts, unshelled peanuts?
Off the top of my head, I would say a good Russian River Pinot Noir.
Now, why would you say Pinot Noir?
You know, it's one of those things. I have a knack for pairing flavors, and I'd say it's worth a try.
See, if we were looking at peanuts, of course, my question is, I have to make this difficult. Are we talking boiled? Are we talking salted, unsalted? But my guess is regular salted peanuts, and I would probably drink a Gewürztraminer with them.
Really?
A little bit of salt to go with a little bit of sweetness, because my favorite peanuts, of course, are the honey roasted.
Well, if that works out, that's one of the few foods that goes well with Gewürztraminer. I like Gewürztraminer.
Fair enough.
I love Gewürz, but I drink it pretty much by itself. You'll find that it'll be on a menu sometimes in Thai restaurants.
It
but other than
match.
That, it's just not, it's not a food wine.
All right. So, Nick, check it out. Try a Pinot and try a Gewürztraminer. Have one in each hand, taste each, and let us know and get back to us. And Jennifer called us with this question.
I have a question about Pinot Grigios. I'm hosting a dinner party, and I just really wanted to impress some of my friends that are wine aficionados, and I am completely clueless when it comes to wine. I just basically go off of what I taste, what I like in terms of taste.
When you're looking at Pinot Grigios, if that's what you're interested in, Pinot Grigios are otherwise known as Pinot Gris. And the wonderful winery of Kenwood has just recently made their first Pinot Gris, and I would definitely recommend going out and getting a bottle of that. Mark, I stole your thunder, but what would you recommend to the kind young lady?
Pinot Gris is something that we've been working on. The production side of Kenwood has been pushing to let us crush a few tons here and there. And in 2007, we crushed 50 tons of Pinot Gris. And so we just bottled it. Very nice. There's two styles as I see it as far as California. One is a riper style, a lush style, very similar to what you would associate with Chardonnays, although the different flavor, I put it in kind of a nutty, almondy kind of category. And then there's a leaner style that I would associate more with Sauvignon Blanc. Two other wineries in Sonoma County that make Pinot Gris / Grigio are McMurray Ranch, which is that riper style, and Mayo, which does a very lean style.
And Mark, I have one final question for you. If our listeners want to go buy a bottle of Kenwood, where would they most likely find one? Where can I go right now and get a bottle of that Sauvignon Blanc?
In the finer wine shops, you should be able to find the Artist Series, our Reserve Lines, our London Wines, our White Label, or as they are known, the Sonoma Line, that just has a big, bold Kenwood in the same font that we've had since day one. You should be able to find those in grocery stores. And those wines, those white-labeled wines, are our bread and butter. Those are that we see every grape that comes through. We decide the day that every one of those grapes is going to be picked. From those wines, from those grapes, we choose the very best. That is, you know, like I say, a Reserve Artist Series or Reserve Zinfandel is about 1,200 cases. Our white label blend of Zinfandel is 25,000 cases.
Mark, it has been a delight having you as part of the Crush today and to have you in the studio. It is very rare we get someone with your background and your experience to take the time to actually sit down and brave our table and our studio. So we do appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Check out the new Wine Crush website to see what Laura and Michael look like and for lots of cool information about wine. Our website is winecrush.com. We'll return with more of the Wine Crush in a moment.
There's a reason Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires for their high-performance vehicles. Just ask Cooper Tires technical advisor, Johnny Unser.
Roush tunes vehicles to reach their absolute limits. They need tires that can handle those limits, from handling to durability to safety. That's why they choose Cooper. And that same race-bred technology goes into every Cooper tire you buy, no matter what you drive.
For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Cooper Tires. Don't give up a thing.
Hey, Mark, have you noticed any of the Spectracide green ninjas around the track?
Green ninjas, Doug?
Yeah, I'm serious. I haven't noticed any weeds or nasty crabgrass. They must have used Spectracide Weed Stop plus Crabgrass Killer.
You know, I haven't seen any crabgrass.
Using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to take out the weeds without harming your lawn. You see results in as fast as 8 hours.
Hand me a bottle of Spectracide Weed Stop plus Crabgrass Killer. I'll get those ninjas in my yard.
Weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Chad.
What's up?
You know that Cobalt Tools commercial we just did, where I go around fixing things and in the end you ask me to get in the car?
Yeah.
Well, I just got a call from this big Hollywood agent who saw it and wants me to come in and see him.
Wow, that's great. What's he want you to do, star in a movie or something?
No, he wants me to fix a door in his office. What's so funny?
Cobalt tools are so comfortable to use, once you start working with them, you'll never want to quit. Cobalt, the next generation of tough tools. Available only at Lowe's.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway, to the Aveo 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of MPG, based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, 1 out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly 1/3 of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Little glass of wine. It's a good thing you're here.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we have had a lot of fun today talking about standards, the standards of wine, or lack thereof. We have spoken with Mark Stuvich, the winemaker for Kenwood Wine Estates. And, of course, we've had Richard Hake, the winery chef for Robert Mondavi. But right now, we haven't heard from the most important component of the crush, and, of course, that is you. So let's get back and take a few of your calls and emails.
Daniel from Advance, what is muscadine?
Daniel, muscadine is right around the block. It's right next to your Scuppernong, and it's right next to your Catawba grapes. It's just a musky, old-fashioned, thick-skinned grape that grows prodigiously in the South. So you can probably find those in your local grocery store.
Actually, driving down pretty much anywhere in the South, you can do your own pick, muscadine and scuppernong.
Yep. You look at the grapes on the side of the road. They are usually sort of yellow with black spots on them. They taste pretty good.
I would avoid the one with black spots on them that tends to be mildew. They do make great jellies, too.
They do, indeed. We have an email from Mark in New Orleans. He's asking, I left a bottle of red wine in my car by accident. My car got up over 100 degrees that afternoon. I haven't opened the wine yet. Is it damaged, and how will I know it is? Mark, I would tell you, you might have a good indication if you look at the cork. If the cork is poking out of the foil, that is, if it's sitting higher than the neck of the bottle, there's a good chance that the wine got too hot. And if the car got over 100 degrees and it stayed like that for a while, when you open the wine, you'll know because it's going to taste a little bit like stewed prunes. Really, the only way to really know is to taste it. But if you've got leakage around the cork or you've got a cork that's extended above the top of the bottle, those are two really good indications that you can go ahead and put a vinegar culture in there and get some red wine vinegar going for the next year.
Michael, our calls and our emails have led us to the fact that I truly believe and our listeners truly believe there is no set standard. If there were set standards, we wouldn't have these questions. And without these questions, that's why wine is so much of a dynamic category. And that's why there's so many shows, so many magazines, is because people are looking for what defines wine. And I totally, absolutely argue that it has to come from themselves.
And respectfully, I think that when a group of people who have made their business in the wine industry and they say they all agree that there's a particular wine that is the best in class, that there is a standard that's being set. If Robert Parker and the Wine Spectator or whatever magazine comes in and they all universally say this is this is just the best of this type of wine, then I think that is setting a standard.
Michael, you and I can argue this till the cows come home. Anyway, this has been The Wine Crush with Laura Lawson.
And Michael Ambrose.
And as always, we are reminding you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, and just remember, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth.
You've got to have something to relate to.
No, you absolutely don't.
Yes,
you don't
you
have
do.
To have something to relate to. And if you do, it's your own damn experience.